say that could be deadly for the animals. Rhinos don't sweat, so they rely on shade and muddy wallowing pools to stay cool.
Rhinos need really unique conditions.
Timothy Randier is one of the study's authors. He says in addition to addressing poaching and habitat loss, wildlife managers need to take steps to protect rhinos from the heat.
That has to be also a part of rhino restoration and rhino conservation.
He says wildlife managers can help keep rhinos cool by providing extra shade and wallowing areas, so the parks can provide a safe haven for these horned giants as the climate warms. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, British Columbia.
Hallelujah! 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 Hallelujah!
I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Oh, oh boy. What a feeling. I'm just lost in love. I can't help it, but I'll try to control it. I'll try to control it. I promise you, I won't do anything embarrassing. This is Reverend Billy for Earth Riot Radio, and today our subject matter for the next half hour is human love, which is ridiculous, and earth love, which was where we've got to be going, children. We've got to stop our shopping and face the earth and love. Well, now, human love is about believing that you can remanufacture love in the form of products. Certainly, the colonizing capitalist Christian nation of the United States, I say we, I'm saying most of us, are complicit in this approach to love. Perfumes, cars, money, just loving money. We love so much of what we create to make consumerism and production that ultimately we can't tell the difference between our products and absolute poison. Our major institutions don't know the difference between the toxins they put into the air, water, and soil and their products because they make money from it all. And money is what determines their love. All right, now you and I, helping each other, you and I are turning our back on that. We're stopping our shopping. We're turning towards the earth, and we're saying to the earth, I'm ready to love again. We're going to start our love over. It's the most ancient kind of love, and the native peoples have never changed their love. They love the earth, and that continues. And that's why our main speaker today is Russell Means from the American Indian Movement. He will come into our studios and speak to us. He occupied Alcatraz, and he was there at Pine Ridge, and he's a great teacher. Love the earth. Love the earth. The earth never stopped its love. It created love. It created our love. And then we turned our back on the earth and went in another direction. But let's go back. Let's love the earth. Somebody give me a love-alleluia. Somebody give me an earth-alleluia.
Tam je tako lepé. Mi ima lakota, ima žianta, ha. Ma kienzi ti još pa, ki leche sapa ki milivakan, makavakan. What I told you in my language, roughly translated, is part of what I'm bound to say when I speak to people because I come from an oral society. And I said, hello, my relatives. I am an ally and I come from Yellow Thunder Village in our very sacred Black Hills, our holy land. Mother Earth here is what really it's all about. The female-male balance in the universe. As you can see, the disrespect for everything that is sacred is what's wrong with this society. And nothing's ever going to happen until this society accepts the fact in their heart, not in the right side of their brain, as the so-called Western scientists have ascertained, the right brain thinking, the linear mathematical equation to life. But what is needed is the knowledge and the wisdom that the earth is a living being.
Meine Arbeit für richtig hält's. Ob du glaubst, dass ich fleißig gewesen bin, dass ich gearbeitet habe, dass ich mich in diesen Jahren für dich eingesetzt habe, dass ich anständig meine Zeit verwendet habe im Dienste meines Volkes. Gib du jetzt deine Stimme ab. Wenn ja, dann tritt für mich ein, so wie ich für dich eingetreten bin.
To news from the natural world, I'm Savitri D. New studies suggest that the first ice-free day in the Arctic could occur over 10 years earlier than previous projections. By mid-century, the Arctic is likely to see an entire month without floating ice during September, when the region's sea ice coverage is at its minimum. At the end of the century, the ice-free season could last several months a year, depending on future emission scenarios. Scientists are amazed at the discovery of the Venatus's bristle worm, a relatively simple organism with eyesight that rivals those of complex mammals and octopuses. The researchers suspect these marine worms may have a secretive language, which uses UV light only seen by their own species. As a set, the worm's eyes weigh about 20 times as much as the rest of the animal's head and seem grotesquely out of place on this tiny and transparent marine worm, as if two giant shiny red balloons have been strapped to its body. Venatus's eyes are also interesting with regards to evolutionary theory and could help settle one of the heaviest academic debates surrounding the theory, whether eyes have only evolved once and evolved into every form that we know of today, or whether they have arisen several times independently of one another in evolutionary history. Venatus's eyes are built simply, but equipped with advanced functionality. At the same time, they have evolved in a relatively short evolutionary time span of just a few million years. This means that they must have developed independently of, for example, human eyes, and that the development of vision, even with a high level of function, is possible in a relatively short time. Water levels at Lake Kariba in Zimbabwe have dropped dramatically because of the latest El Nino drought. The country's president, Emmerson Mnangagwa, has declared a national disaster. The Zambezi River Authority, which owns and manages Lake Kariba, announced that water in the lake had dropped to just 13.5% of its capacity. In Bogota, Colombia, El Nino drought is also threatening the city's water supply, and water supplies are being rationed. Supplies at the Chingaza Reservoir, which supplies 70% of the capital's water, are at 16%, the lowest on record. Bogota's public water utility estimates there could be about 54 days' worth of water left. To prevent a disaster, local officials have divided Bogota into 9 zones, each of which will be cut off from the water grid for 24 hours on rotation. Couples in Bogota are being asked to shower together and to skip bathing as often as possible. Mexico City is also rationing water supplies. Swimming in schools makes fish surprisingly stealthy underwater. A research team found that a school of fish moving together in just the right way was stunningly effective at noise reduction. A school of 7 fish sounded just like 1 fish. The single biggest key to sound reduction, the team found, was the synchronization of the school's tail flapping, or actually the lack of synchronization. If fish move in unison, flapping their tail fins at the same time, the sound added up and there was no reduction in total sound. But if they alternated tail flaps, the fish canceled out each other's sound, effectively silencing their movement. Just weeks after being discovered, one of the world's largest snakes, a new species of giant anaconda, has been found dead in the Amazon rainforest. The news was shared earlier this week by a heartbroken professor, Freek Vonk, a biologist from Amsterdam, who was part of the team who discovered the snake in the forest. The cause of death is currently still being investigated. A research group in Japan has discovered that writing down one's reaction to a negative incident on a piece of paper and then shredding it or throwing it away reduces feelings of anger. We expected that our method would suppress anger to some extent, lead researcher Nobuyuki Kawai said. However, we were amazed that anger was eliminated almost entirely. Korea Superconducting Tokamak Advanced Research, or K-STAR, is one of the most advanced test fusion reactors on the planet. Nicknamed the Korean Artificial Sun, it has now demonstrated sustained fusion temperature for almost 1 minute and the ability to contain extremely hot plasma for over 100 seconds. Fusion is what powers stars, but in stars it happens at lower temperatures than we need here on Earth. That's because gravity is keeping everything packed together, so fusion is more likely to happen here. The temperature required on Earth for a tokamak system, which is a donut-shaped reactor, is about 7 times the temperature at the core of the Sun, 100 million degrees Celsius, or 180 million degrees Fahrenheit. The goal is to achieve 300 seconds of burning plasma by the end of 2026. Landfills are now identified as a major source of methane emissions, significantly contributing to climate change. This revelation comes from direct measurements using imaging spectrometers, not just computer models. The data highlight the importance of addressing landfill emissions as part of global efforts to reduce greenhouse gases. Dengue fever, a mosquito-borne viral disease, presents a significant health challenge in tropical and subtropical regions worldwide. Characterized by high fever, severe headache, pain behind the eyes, joint and muscle pain, and rash, dengue can progress to more severe forms such as dengue hemorrhagic fever and dengue shock syndrome, potentially leading to death. Puerto Rico's health department has recorded a 140% increase in dengue fever cases, reaching epidemic levels with 549 cases this year. The island's struggle is part of a larger global trend, with climate change and environmental factors contributing to the spread of transmissible insect-borne diseases like dengue. Despite the growing threat, efforts to control the outbreak include public education, vaccine campaigns, and innovative mosquito control technologies. The gray whale population has suffered a dramatic decline, with more than 700 whales found dead since 2018, raising questions about their survival. Researchers pinpoint a drop in Arctic and subarctic food supplies as a primary cause, though the exact reasons for this scarcity remain unclear. This die-off provides a crucial data point for understanding and potentially addressing the challenges faced by marine life in changing oceanic environments. Some researchers have observed a direct correlation between these die-offs and both the levels of Arctic sea ice and the biomass of benthic amphipods, a key food source for the whales. Three fishermen stranded on a remote Pacific atoll for more than a week were rescued after spelling out the word help in the sand using giant palm fronds. A crew from the U.S. Coast Guard rescued the men after their message was spotted from the air. In an extraordinary twist, one of the members of the Coast Guard rescue team that went ashore to save them turned out to be their relative, a third cousin with the same last name, and able to speak their local language. The trio had been missing since failing to return from an Easter Sunday fishing expedition aboard their 20-foot skiff and survived by eating coconuts. And now, the sounds of extinction. The wandering albatross is the world's largest flying bird, with a wingspan reaching an incredible 3.5 meters. These birds are oceanic nomads. They spend most of their 60 years of life at sea and only come to land to breed approximately every 2 years. They live in the Southern Ocean. About half of the entire world's wandering albatross breeding population, estimated at around 20,000 mature individuals, are supported by Marion Island and Prince Edward Island. Albatrosses are capable of flying up to 10,000 miles in a single journey and circumnavigate the Earth in just 46 days. They are threatened by longline fishing, pollution, habitat degradation, and the changing climate. And hear the sound of the wandering albatross in the Southern Ocean.
Lovers, lovers, lovers. children can live.
Love her.
Really nothing better to give.
Love her.
And your love comes back to you. So I'm calling out. I'm calling out to you.
Love her.
This is our last chance now, folks. Let's rise to the occasion. Let's fall in love with the Earth. Love Earth. I don't mean Hallmark card love. I mean love, love. Real love. Caressing, moaning, sighing love. Now, we each have our own very unique love, don't we? And now remember that. Let's all remember how we have risen to the occasion of love in our lives with that person or persons. Well, now, we are the earth. We're made of the stuff of the earth. And when we loved, we were the earth rising to its direction, its, you might even say, task of loving. Now let's remember when we loved so hard we screamed and laughed hysterically and held on for dear life. Let's remember when we got there. The day I fell in love with the earth, I had the feeling of reverence for the erogenous zones of the forest of dawn, the spraying of birds flocking. Birds, what do? They murmurate. They make waves of life across the sky. Something unknown is in them. The fabulous unknown. Mysterious pleasure. And I tumbled along the shore of the river, rolling with the fish, the sunlight flashing and the wind whispering obscenities, the screaming of nature, the insect spider love, honeybee love, love love. The earth is coming. The earth is coming. The earth is coming.
Say thank you, crediting the people that made this Earth Riot possible. First of all, of course, Russell Means, our elder teacher. Russell's no longer with us, but very much with us in his examples, in his teaching, in his arousing defense of the Earth as a living life. The Kuneye Bird Singers from the Chicano Steering Committee in the San Diego area. They're the chanters who come in and out of, well, the first part of our show, which featured some devils, Wagner and Hitler and Reba singing her national anthem for the gladiational event that we know of as the Super Bowl, with the fighter planes coming over the top. Well, we would like to end that evil. We would like to thank Daniel Barenboim and Waltraud Meyer and Edward Said for the East West Orchestra, which gave us that Tristan and Isolde, looking for a way for the ethnic relatives and sometimes enemies, sometimes friends, cultures and nation states in the Mideast. We want to thank the Cougars, the Wolves, the Loons, the Albatross, and Savitri D for bringing us so many of the plants and animals that we had to meditate on and say hello to in this half hour. Savitri D and Jason Candler, our editor. Savitri is the director of these performances at the Church of Stop Shopping, and we are off with Neil Young and Crazy Horse on a national tour just in 9 days from now. And Savitri is anticipating finding a way to bring our performing, our songs, our prayers, our sermons to stadiums with 5, 10, 15, 20, 30,000 people out there. Francisco Benitez, the Stop Shopping Choir, you will all be there with us. And aren't we blessed? Let's fall in love and help other people love the earth, shall we? And that's Reverend Billy here now. That's it. And just wish you the very best, a safe and wild week.